So today I had this, like, I had boozy brunch today and now we're recording. So the gloves are off. The filter is gone.
Shields are down is what I say when I'm in that.
Hang on. I'm watching my levels because so Eric has been bothering us about our levels for a couple of weeks now. Like, we're too hot. We're coming in too hot. It's better to be quiet than it is to be loud. So we apologize, everyone.
The text where he was like, it's like you don't anticipate at all that you'll be excited about romance novels. And I was like, drag me, Eric. Fine.
So I think we should at first apologize to our regular listeners for potentially being too loud and bursting your eardrums with our excitement over the last few weeks. We apologize. You know, when you talk about category romances, you're going to be excited too. I'm turning mine down more now. So, but Nisha, I saw Nisha Sharma today because I had this like really delightful boozy brunch. It's Sunday in New York City with most of the Rita writers' room, which was really fun, and I loved them all very much. And Nisha said to me, "You know, I've been binge listening to Faded Mates, and I started with the initial interstitials, you know, a couple weeks ago, and you guys are really soft and like quiet and thoughtful. And then in the last couple of episodes, you've just been yelling, 'Go read that book.'" And I was like, well, Eric says we're like our levels are too high. Like, I think it is actually louder than it should be right now. And we're working on it. And she goes, yeah, I think also you're just like the gloves are off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's yelling at us to read the books, which is probably true. So, sure. Yeah. But now I'm not going into the red and I'll keep my eye on the levels. And we apologize, everyone. It's our mistake, not Eric's. He does everything he can.
We're just trying our best, everybody.
He nags us a whole lot.
It's okay. We should welcome them.
Everyone.
To, like, you know what it is? It's like Faded Mates After Dark. Where we just whisper and are not excited ever.
Welcome, everyone, to Faded Mates. It's, what is it? ASMR? We should do a whole episode in ASMR.
No,
it would never. We would never be able to do it.
I'm like, what? I can't hear anything. We are. It's a couple days after Valentine's Day. It's President's Day.
Happy
weekend.
Valentine's Day, everyone. We hope you had a nice one.
I went to see Birds of Prey yesterday with Kelly and our men, and we had a great time.
Happy Galentine's Day to everyone. Also, I don't really care about Valentine's Day at all.
No, we didn't. We don't really do much either.
I was in Los Angeles for a couple days. I flew in on Thursday and Valentine's Day was Friday. And I did a presentation on Valentine's Day for a place about romance novels where I basically did like romance 101. And I talked to Eric before I went to it and I was like, I'm a little nervous. And he was like, Sarah, you know, you do this literally every week.
I know.
He's like, you know, you have like thousands of people who listen to you do this every week, but it still felt very like stressful to walk into a room full of people who I had been like sort of already told like might not be like know very much about romance. And like whenever I hear that, I worry like it's not just know very much about romance, but also like be actively hostile toward romance.
Sure.
But it was awesome and they were all awesome and it ended up being super great. And they didn't even flinch when I said orgasm multiple times. So when I explained the 2-for-1 rule, which like why would I explain that to a room full of people who don't know a lot about romance? But 2-for-1 rule's real, man.
I would say it is foundational to the genre.
She comes twice for every time he comes. I don't see why that's a problem. Anyway, have it in your life, everyone. But the point is that when I was packing up to leave, you know, I have a 6-year-old and she is really into Valentine's Day.
Sure.
Like 6-year-olds are really into Valentine's Day because it's like,
it's a school holiday.
It's arts and crafts.
Candy
and hearts.
It's a candy holiday.
And she really, like, no one likes a heart. Like, this kid likes a heart.
Mm.
And so she was watching me pack, and she was like, Mommy, you're going to miss the holiday. And she said it with this, like, gravitas. Like, it was Christmas or something and I was not going to be here. And I was like, honey, I write books about love. I'm like, this is my go week. this is my only week. So I was working.
You know what else was great about this week, though, is feel like every February, all of Romancelandia like girds their loins for like terrible hot takes about romance.
Yeah, the 10 best romance novels of all time. Number one, sure. Anna Karenina.
But you know,
nobody believes that.
Yeah, no. I expect those bad listicles, but like that was kind of it. And I was like real pleasantly surprised. It was not like a barrage of bad hot takes. So,
yeah, I didn't see, but I was busy. So I don't know. I didn't see any like real bad ones. I saw a couple of lists where recommendations were very, very misguided.
Yes.
Like for those of you who don't know, Anna Karenina ends with the titular character throwing herself in front of a train.
In front of a train. Yeah. Not that kind of train.
Like, The Great Gatsby was also on that list. Like, that also ends with the titular character dying, well, in that case, in a swimming pool, but still.
Sure, being shot by, you know, a mobster or whatever. Romance.
Nisha said she wanted to come on and guest as for a mob romance episode, which I think would be very fun. We could talk about Gatsby then and how much I love it. I do really love Gatsby, and I think it's a great novel, but it's not a romance novel.
That would be amazing. We are actually lining up quite a few really cool guests.
At this lunch, I was like, you're all invited to be on the podcast. And I'm not like, if Jen and I have said, like, we really want you to be on the podcast to somebody out there listening, like, we really actually do want you to be on the pod. Like, we don't say that to people if we don't really want them to be on.
Right.
We're just very behind because of me. I'm very behind.
We're going to record like gangbusters in March because then I'm real busy in April and May. So,
yeah. Well, we're doing some lives. Doing a live episode in April. Two live episodes in April. So if you're in Chicago, you will get to see you'll get to see us twice. You'll get to see Fate of Mates live at Spring Fling. We'll put the links in the show notes. Mm-hmm. And you'll get to see Fate of Mates Wicked Wildflowers Heaving Bosoms live, which is going to be a scene.
Bananas.
At KissCon. Yeah.
It's going to be
fun.
Then
what I was thinking, Jen, is like, because RWA is dead, we really should schedule for, like, maybe Craven Day of next year. Maybe you should come for Craven Day. And we should do a live episode in New York.
That'd be
really
fun.
We should travel for Craven Day. That would be really fun.
You go.
We'll just pick a town and go for Craven Day. Someday Lisa will join us.
There you go. We'll just go to her. We'll, like, sit on her driveway.
We'll be like, we're in Seattle. It's Craven Day. And she'll special surprise appearance.
That'd be amazing. She'll just come out. It's like, and be like, go home now. Go home.
Yeah. Get off my lawn is what she will say to us.
So we, as you know, Sarah's been finishing up a book and then it was, you know, go week. So we are talking about what we've been calling like quick and dirty reads. And I think what we mean by that is the books that are like, not necessarily one-handed reads, although maybe that's it. But really, I think the books that are just like, they deliver exactly what they say they're going to deliver. You like dive in, you read it all in one sitting, you get your like shot of romance, and then you can move along with your day. That's how I interpret the quick and dirty read.
Agreed. Also, I feel like there's the second piece of that, which is we like, you're instantly like, oh yeah, this is a reliable.
Yes.
This is reliable. Like, I'm going to immediately read the next one in this of this author because she's super reliable.
I think that was one of the things I was thinking about. This is there's no subverting of the tropes in a quick and dirty read. In a quick and dirty read, it's like, this is the trope and I'm delivering it and I'm going to do it perfectly and you're going to know exactly what you're going to get.
Exactly. And it's like not that long. Like 200 pages at the most.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. So, right. You're not in it for like 600 pages of a big epic fantasy.
No, but well done. Because I flew back from LA yesterday and Rachel Hawkins, who is a YA writer who is, I think, working on a romance novel, it seems from her Twitter. but is a very, very big romance reader and a friend, told me she's into fantasy, and she was like, you got to read this new book by Mila Vane, who's actually Mel Jean Brooke. So if you read those old Mel Jean steampunk books, like The Iron Duke, was awesome. And they're, you know, these are great books, but she hasn't written in a while. She hasn't written a new book in a while. Well, it turns out she's been working on this fantasy series. It's called A Gathering of Dragons. And the first book is out this month, came out at the beginning of February. It's called A Heart of Blood and Ashes. And you guys, this book is like 600 pages long, and it's pure fantasy in the sense that there are a lot of fucking names and places and creatures that you gotta like input. And you all know how I feel about that nonsense. And so I was like, Rachel, I'm not reading this fantasy book. I mean, I'll get it, but come on.
Sure.
And then, so I got it. I got hold of it. And I started it, and I texted Jen, and I was like,
"Yeah,
I don't know. There are a lot of like, there are a lot of weird names in this book. And there are a lot of weird places in this book." And by page like 65, I was fucking in it. The plot of this book is, the hero is a warrior. Like, there are all these weird creatures on this plane. He's like dirty and wrapped in fur on the cover, fur and leather. So
it's
like,
a good cover. It's super
a great
hot.
Cover. If you look up the cover of this book and it looks like a book that you will be into, judge this book by its cover. Like, if you're like, I don't know, definitely don't read it, because definitely no. So he's a warrior, and he is the prince of, you know, his country place. And his parents are killed. Turns out his parents are assassins. His country place.
Sure. His country place.
They've been assassinated by a neighboring king, the king of a different country place. And, but there's like an alliance that's working together to fight a big bad. And so basically the alliance has said, like, you can't kill this king, because that will be that is a political no-no. And so he's furious. And so he decides that instead of killing this king, he's going to torture this king by going and kidnapping the daughter of this king.
Sarah, what do you think is going to happen?
It's so hard to tell. And then
I am literally like, he kidnaps like, her.
I'm getting it. So he goes to get her, and it turns out that she's like orchestrated this whole fucking thing. And like, she brought his parents to her country and like convinced them, because they were, of course, searching for a wife for him.
Of course.
So they went and met with her, and her kingdom passes, the royalty passes through the female line. So she is the heir to the throne of her kingdom.
Fine. Her queendom.
Fucking badass. And she is so full of anger and vitriol. And she's basically like, he finds her and she's being escorted. This is page, I'm not spoiling anything, it's page like 50 of this 600 page book. And he finds her like on this road, and she's like, and she's being escorted. She's taught her like, her hands are like tied. She's bound, but she's being escorted by her brother, who's a real asshole. And they're all standing around like talking, you know, fantasy talk about like politics and shit. And suddenly the brother collapses to the ground, and she holds up like a bloody knife, and she's like, who's fucking next? Like, I hate my brother.
I want this in my eye holes.
And I was
right
like,
now.
Oh my God, I'm in. So anyway,
that sounds amazing.
This is A Heart of Blood and Ashes. It's the first book in Mila Vane's new series from Berkeley. Thank you to Berkeley for sending it to me. And book two's coming in summer. And Mila tweeted at me yesterday that it is a new couple, and it's going to be great.
That's amazing.
She didn't say that last part, but I'm sure of it.
Yeah. I also read a real propulsive fun read, not quick and dirty, but I loved it, called Whiteout by Adriana Anders.
Oh, well, we love Adriana. In fact, she's on my list to talk about as quick and dirty.
Well, there you go. I'll start off with like medium and dirty, which is, this is amazing. It's Like, I was like, this is how romantic suspense should feel. And basically, these folks are at the South Pole. She's a cook at the South Pole station, and he's a scientist, and bad guys come and want to take his ice core samples because of science. And then they're bad guys who kill people because they're bad, and these two have to trek across Ant-fucking-Artica with, like, sleds of virus cores and food of, like, peanut butter balls.
And wait, and you coined a new phrase. Danger banging.
Oh, I don't think I've coined that phrase. Everyone uses this
really?
Phrase, right?
I've never heard that phrase
before. Oh, shit. So this is actually amazing. So Mr.
Danger bang.
Mr. Reed's romance is not actually... He doesn't listen to the podcast, and he, like, loves me, but is constantly basically like, I want you to imagine my house is like a sea of books, and he's always like, where the fuck are these coming from? And so anyway, we're sitting there talking, and because we were about to go see a movie, and I was like, oh my God, I'm reading this great book, because I'm constantly, I think a book would be one he would like or listen to. I'm like laying the groundwork for this.
Someday he'll pick up the thread, he'll read a romance, he'll take the bait.
And this is one, because, and then I'm like, but I don't know where they're gonna do the danger bang. And he was like,
time out.
Tea. It's like, what the fuck is danger banging? And I was like, no, wait. And he was like, I was like, do you really not know? Like, can you just get it? And he was like, oh yeah, absolutely. He was dying. I mean, and then we were like driving to the movies, and he was like, I just want you to know, in my head, I'm like kind of like running through this whole danger banging idea. And of course our son was in the back seat like, oh my God, my parents. So the whole thing was amazing.
I bet you're the most popular parents in your son's friend group.
Oh, so funny. It was amazing. So yeah, he was super into, I was like,
danger,
yeah,
danger bang,
danger bang.
I mean, I gotta say, this danger banging is also present in this fantasy book too. Also, vengeance banging.
Oh yeah, that's
big,
good too.
In this book.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, like, what's amazing. So you all know, I mean, everybody here has been with us long enough that they know, like, my A+ number one, like, ride or die kink is revenge. Like, revenge is the great. I mean, that's why this book instantly, 60 pages in. Like, if it had been any other, like, horror story, I probably would have been like, I just can't yeah, do it with these animals, like these strange creatures. But like, but you know, since it was all vengeance, I was like, yeah. And I'm not going to spoil. I have spoiled it for Jen because I had to talk about it with somebody. But I'm not going to spoil, like, the first sex scene in this book. The first time they, like, interact sexually is, like, pure, like, basically, like, if you're not into vengeance, it could totally be gross. But I was like,
yeah, like, shoot,
I was like, put it in my veins. The heroine's basically like, oh, your vengeance, your vengeance is the same as my vengeance. Let's fucking bang it out.
And oh, I like, God, I yeah, love that.
Vengeance banging.
Yes. Danger banging, vengeance banging, all that. That's all I want out of life.
I mean, it really is.
My favorite danger bang, if I could like take a brief second, is in the Kinky Bank Robber series by Annika Martin.
Oh, we love Annika. I mean, we have coined.
Take the finger.
I have a whole bracelet dedicated to Annika.
These two MFers, and it's like they're in sort of a polyamorous relationship, but she's been with these other guys, but not like the head bank robber, whatever. And they're trapped together and literally like going to die of heat stroke in like some sort of like shipping container.
Sure.
But they bang it out.
Of course.
And I was like,
you know,
it's so hot.
I'm tired of gentlemen. I want heat stroke banging. Heat stroke banging. Danger banging. Vengeance banging.
Oh, Sarah, that's why you're my fated mate.
So this whole book just felt like such a breath of fresh air for me, because I was like, this is like, it just felt like she was like, fuck this. I'm just going to write my pure, like, unpeel my, like, skin suit. Right? Like, I'm just going to write my heart. And I was like, I'm in it. And that's what, you know, Jen and I talk about this all the time. But, like, it's that moment where you're like, I mean, is fantasy my thing? absolutely not. But like, I really respect somebody who's just balls to the wall. Like, is Antarctica your thing? Probably not.
No. Like, I don't like
Adriana
to be cold.
Is taking the finger down there.
Oh,
that
God,
sounds
yes.
gross, but.
Oh, taking the finger, the knives, like the sleds, the ice floes, all of it. Yeah,
I love
exactly.
it. I love it.
It was great. Okay, so we're going to talk, I guess, then about some other quick and dirty books. Why don't you start? Because it sounds like we can transition.
Well, yeah, I mean, just right, gently. So when we say quick and dirty, Jen sort of explained, you kind of explained it. But, you know, for me, it really is about, it's about ease of use, one, right? Like it's sort of,
yeah,
like, okay, I know. I really enjoyed that. It was fast. Like, it was at the end, I was like deeply satisfied by it. Like, mm-hmm. and not in like an, it's almost like not even in an intellectual way, although sometimes that too, but like in just sort of like a primal way. Like, this just makes yes. me, like, reading this book made me happy for 2 hours. And now I want to read another one. And so then you know, immediately go and you buy the next one. So I came to Adriana Anders through Loving the Secret Billionaire, which is sort of like there are few books that are more obviously quick and dirty than this one, in the sense that it's a novella, and that it has, you know, now we've talked about this on the podcast, this particular novella on the podcast before, because it actually has a really like thoughtful, there's, you know, a politician in it, and there's like the external conflict in this book is about a politician trying, a woman, a Latinx politician, trying to get elected to public office, and you know, the hero who is a hacker and a billionaire and a virgin and blind and lives in a house in the woods,
sure.
sort of machinating to make that happen. So there's that sort of going on in here, but also it's really hot. It's really quick. The setup for the whole book is basically, you know, she's trying to like beat her competitor up the driveway to this mansion in the woods. And it's the last house she's going to visit that day as she canvasses for herself. And he, like, she knocks on the door and he opens the door and she's like, you have to let me in before this other guy. And she like pushes her in herself inside and like, boom, like the door closes and it's like off to the races. Mm-hmm. And there's something really powerful about, like, now we're, you know, whatever, 3 pages into this book and like, it's happening. These two are like, he's super into her right away. Like there's sort of an instant attraction. It doesn't always have to feel like, oh, it's instant attraction, but that sure helps. Like, you know,
I was just thinking about that. I don't think it has to be instant anything. I do think the inciting incident of the plot has to happen right away. I think that's like the key. It doesn't have to be instant lust, but it does
absolutely.
Have to be like, bam, something happened.
And then like, you just have to be sort of dumped into this story. So Adriana is, I always use that as sort of like a really great example of like the book doesn't have to be, it just has to be a one sitting, like instant,
mm-hmm.
intensity read for me. But my sort of go-to when somebody says to me, like, I'm looking for something quick and dirty, is London Hale. Mm-hmm. And that's because I think London Hale, which is a writing duo, who I'm sure I've mentioned before on the podcast, if we haven't actually like spoken, like really dug deep on them. But, you know, they have a couple of series. The first one is really, really like taboo, but like light. I mean, now it's so low on the Simone scale.
Right.
Like if you're looking at the Simone scale, it's nowhere. But it's like the I want to say the first one of theirs is called like The Dilf.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like older man, younger woman, like kind of big age differences and like real hot and real like quick. And, but like intense love story, like instant attraction, like instant love stories. And so that's their first, I don't know, four maybe are that kind of world. And then they start sort of twisting tropes a little bit. And there's, so I guess this kind of goes, this sort of throws into question this. I think you're right that it's not really a, what did you say earlier about tropes? You said like, they don't,
I
they
think
really
they
like.
Nail the trope.
Yeah, they nail it.
I don't think they're looking to subvert a trope. That
No.
Fool around with a little bit, but I think it means like, there's no mystery.
No. And I think that's true. I think they just establish it right away. There's no fooling the reader into thinking that, oh, you're going to read this one thing, but instead I'm going to flip it upside down and like give you a commentary on the trope. You're absolutely right. So there's, you know, the woman who works in the sex shop and the priest across the street. And the older mayor, the older female mayor of the town, and the 20-something-year-old fireman who's also a sex line operator, a phone sex operator, and they, like, have met because she's just trying to take the edge off now and then, and now, like, they're super into each other. And then there's like the whole question of like, so that, you know, they're not, but they don't shy away from how challenging these kind of situations are and how like taboo they might be. The priest across the street isn't actually, he's not a Catholic priest. He's an Episcopalian, so he can get married, or Baptist. I don't know. He's a something that can be, he's a pastor who can get married. You know, but they all, they're none of them more than like, I don't know, probably 200 pages long. And they are hot and sexy and smart, and I just really love them.
Yeah. You know what else that strikes me about these, like, a quick and dirty read is that they're very tightly focused on the romantic, like, story without, like, almost no other characters, no, like, workplace drama, right? I mean, so, like, I think another thing I was thinking is they just tend to be, like, really tightly focused. It's, like, all close, all, like, zoomed in. And so I think that's another reason why when I think about, like, what works in these, it's, you know, like, you're just, it's essentially, like, really cutting it down to the bone. And that's the other reason I think they're just so fast is you're not at all, you know, like, okay, what's going to go on with this character? Is this, you know, it's just like, bam, it's like, these are the people, here's what's happening. And then we're just like watching them like no other part of their life exists.
Yes.
And that's not always what I want, but it is what I want. It is what I want when I read.
I mean, and
like
the thing, yes, absolutely. And the thing about these London Hale books is it's almost like these two writers. So their names are Ellis Lee and Brighton Walsh. And I think they write under their own names as well. But the thing about these is it's almost like they, you know, we've seen this happen in indie where like stepbrothers are huge and then they're gone.
Yeah.
And then it's like your best friend's dad is huge and then that's gone. And then like, you know, priests are huge and then that's gone. And breeding is huge and then that's gone. And it's like they sat down and they made a list of like all of these like,
yeah,
you know, tropes that we all... I don't know if I want to say it this way, but I'm going to say it this way. But we're all like a little embarrassed that we're into.
Yeah.
I mean, we are.
That's right.
And like,
exactly.
This isn't really like, I don't want you, like, I don't want this to be kink shaming, but like, you kind of are. Like, what are you going to do? Tell your like boss that you're reading a breeding romance? Like, yikes.
No, I don't know.
Like,
yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly, yeah, that's a really good point. Like, they tend to really traffic in like, kind of like the, some core stereotypical relationships, maybe, that...
And, well, you know. I once talked to Tessa Bailey about this, and she referenced another writer who writes very short, like, again, like, very short, like, really, really dirty. And, you know, I also want to say, when Jen and I use the word dirty, we use it with great love, like, reclaim it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, we love it. But Tessa and I were talking about, you know, somebody who writes real dirty, and she's like, it's like she sits down and just like opens up the vein that runs directly to her vagina.
Oh my god.
And
that's,
I was
right.
Like, oh my god, yeah, that feels wrong and very real, like, and it's true.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing, like, there's no, I mean, you know, we all have different, like, romance reading moods. And, like, to me, this is, like, I don't know, like, sometimes you have, like, a long work day and you're really stressed and you're like, I just want to come home and, like, open a bottle of wine and, you know, like, I don't know, like, these to me are, like, the book equivalent of, like, opening a bottle of wine, right? Like, yeah. I know exactly what I'm going to get and it's going to deliver it and there's not going to be any messing around with that.
Jennifer,
like, just give me what I want.
Are these a trip to the pet store?
I don't think so, because okay, so wait, before we continue, Kelly would like everyone to know that she appreciates, you're gonna love this, she appreciates the need for these, like, metaphors that we use about how we're talking about books, but that no one should actually buy pets at a pet store.
Yes, oh no, that's absolutely true. But I mean, if you go to a pet store, like my local pet store, you can go there and, like, pet nice dogs who are there to buy treats for themselves. I mean, the dogs don't buy treats for themselves, but...
Go to a shelter and find an animal. Thank you.
Adopt, don't shop, one, and two, like, you should definitely not buy animals at pet stores.
I promised her we would make sure everybody knew that the pet store thing was an analogy. No, what? I don't know. I was like, I don't know if that's a visit to the pet store. I don't think so. I think it's more like you said. It's like more like a visit to the secret shame closet.
It's right? What?
I'm like, it's like a visit to the secret shame closet, right? Like where you keep, like, back behind something and you're like,
I mean, these are your peanut skeletons. Butter cups. Your skeletons are in there.
In case you have, like, a real need for one.
All right,
you know,
so can I tell you something? So when I was pregnant, after my daughter was born, so those of you who have not had children, or had to wake up in the middle of the night with children, know that, you should just know that it's fucking awful. And you I mean, like, I know, God love you people out there who are like, oh my God, I helped my baby. And, like, it was like,
no,
the sky opened and I had purpose. The middle of the night with a 2-week old is fucking terrible. And I was obsessed with being able to breastfeed. And now we're going to have another PSA that is, you know, first we did pets and now we're going to do breastfeeding. I did not produce enough milk, and fuck anybody who, like, shames women into breastfeeding if they don't want to or can't or struggle with it in any way. Formula is fine and you should totally not be ashamed of it. And if anybody ever shames you for formula feeding your baby, you call me and I will come to your house and protect you with, like, my personal carved shiv.
Wait, Sarah, have I never told you the story about how oh my God, I don't know what this podcast is about right now, but we're going to stop. I'm going to tell a story because I was the same. I
don't know what this podcast is about.
Okay,
right now.
I don't know what this podcast is about right now, but listen, I hated nursing. I did it for like 3 weeks and I just had to stop because it was not for me. And I was like really, I lived in Berkeley at the time and I was real worried that, like, people would shame me for it because it's fucking Berkeley. And I just was like, I'm not.
I live in the Berkeley of Brooklyn. Yes.
Yes. Right. I was like, I'm not going to put up with anybody's fucking bullshit about this. Right. And so I was like, how can I, like, basically shut that shit down and make that person feel terrible if it happens? And I don't know if I've ever told you this, but basically here's what it is. So, like, I would imagine myself, like, I'd be at the park. I had never had to actually do this, but I was ready to do it. And someone would say, like, I can't believe you're not nursing. And I was going to look this motherfucker right in the face and say, he's adopted.
Yeah. Fair.
And I was so ready to do that because I was like, how can I just make this person slink away in shame for what they were, like, going to do to me, right?
Somebody, one of my friends was in the park here in Brooklyn and she was bottle feeding and her infant. And somebody said, that better be breast milk. And she looked them dead in the eye and said, or what?
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, queen. So anyway, so you're also out of your mind in those early weeks, like in those early days and week, like you've not slept enough. You are absolutely at your hormonal to, if you have birthed this baby, your body is like a fucking shit show. Your hormonal, everything is terrible. And you're up. If you're breastfeeding, your partner can't help.
Right.
Like he was great, but like couldn't help. And so it's all coming back around. I promise that this is relevant to the story, to this like quick and dirty thing. So I had this like basket of treats on top of the fridge, and it was like brownies and like other shit that I wanted to eat at 2:30 in the morning while I was like tearing my hair out and hating my life. And one day I went to this basket of treats on the top of the fridge and the brownies were all gone.
Oh.
And I literally was standing there with my like 3-week old and thinking like, what would happen? Like, would someone prosecute me if I stabbed my husband for eating the last brownie? Since then, I have kept a secret stash of chocolate in my office because he can't be trusted. And so here's my thing.
That's what these books are.
Now I have to move it. But he keeps, so this is my thing, is like these books live in the secret stash that you keep away from everyone else for days when you have your period or you're breastfeeding and you're miserable. or you're just having a difficult day.
Yes, that's what this is. This is not a visit to the pet store. It is like the secret candy bar.
Jen and I will never shame you for having that basket of goodies somewhere secret in your house. And fuck anyone who takes stuff out of there or makes you feel bad for having it.
Perfect. Okay, so here's my... Yeah, I was like, Sarah, I've never felt so seen in my fucking life. Okay. So, you and I bonded over Grace Goodwin.
Oh, remember? Yeah, she's on my list, too, but yeah.
Yeah,
like... Who do we think Grace Goodwin is? Where is she? She did a thing. Anyway.
She, like, swims in pools of candy bars, obviously. Anyway.
These books are so crazy. Oh, my God.
Right, exactly. I mean, they're basically, like... Well, here's the other thing. The setup of every single one of them is the same. And eventually, that means that none of them actually... I could not tell you a single name of anybody, but I love them so much.
They all begin with a dream sequence about sex.
With a threesome. Like a menage. So basically, there's some sort of
planetary... swords never cross.
Yeah, well, that's I think why we quit them. We were like, that's disappointing.
Warning, everyone. What's the opposite of a content warning? I don't know, but it's warning. Swords never cross in these books.
The boring warning, the BW bullshit warning. No, and you know what? Like, but I still every once in a while when there's one up on BookBub because they are expensive. They're like $4 or $5 each. If there's one up on BookBub, I'll buy it and I'll like relive that joy. But basically, it's like there's some sort of Stellar Bride program, and these human women are gonna get sent up to a place, some planet where the two warriors agree to like essentially take one mate, and that way if anything ever happens to one, they know that their mate will have a backup.
Are they all menage, those books?
I think
most of them are. Yeah.
I mean, every once in a while when you read one that's not, and you're like, wait, did you just stick a kale chip into my candy bar stash? So anyway.
I found the pills shoved in the hot dog.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I don't know. That's the other thing. It's like, and there's never really any danger. You never really are worried about anything bad happening. And so it's just like, yeah, she's going to go up and find her mates. And because it's all science, they're going to be perfect for her. And everyone's going to be happily ever after and, like, be danger banging all over the space station. Great.
Danger banging. So, well, I mean, so you can't talk about Grace Goodwin without talking about Ice Planet Barbarians, too.
Yeah, Ruby Dixon. Yeah. Well, and mostly before we see anything, we should say there, our friend Danny has an Ice Planet Barbarian podcast now.
We will link to it on Twitter. Yeah. We will put it in show notes. Go immediately to the Ice Planet Barbarians podcast.
Yeah, and this is like Ruby Dixon for sure serves this all up, right? Bam, bam, yeah. Bam.
Well, and it's what Danny's really doing. Danny's doing first season of Fate of Mates, Fry's Planet Barbarians over there. And so you will really love it. And those of you who've never read Ice Planet Barbarians and never read IAD and listened to all of last season, go over there and now listen to the crackers plots of Ice Planet Barbarians.
You know, and though, like, and there's actually several like sub series and like spinoff series, but like Ruby Dixon for sure is also like, this is an author who knows exactly what it is you want and is going to serve it up exactly the way you want it.
Every time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there's something great about that.
There really is. I do think that this is something that's like embedded in these like paranormal or like sci-fi series, though. Like, I think, you know, I know you love Brill Harper, who is contemporary. Yes. But, you know, just as we're talking, I'm thinking about Lauren Donner. Do you remember her? Mm-hmm.
God, vaguely, that name sounds familiar.
So,
but
Lauren, I don't even know if she's still writing. She probably is. Lauren Donner was,
You know what? I think she is, because I think I saw her on my USA Today list.
Really? Okay, so she wrote these crazy books called the New Species series that started with... gosh, I mean, I want to say they were published by one of the publishers who's now no longer exists. And they were essentially like, the premise was human DNA had been crossed with animal DNA to create these creatures who were not shifters, but like had the skills of certain animals. And sure. they were like superhuman, kind of dog men or cat men or sure. Monkey men. Like, I'm describing sure. it and I'm like, oh my God.
She literally had a book on the like New York Times bestseller list a couple weeks ago, The Vorge Crew, book 5.
Oh yeah. Well, then she also did a cyborg series.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. Give me a fucking cyborg. You ever read those books by Cynthia Sachs about the cyborgs?
No.
Same fucking thing.
I mean, this Same is the thing. Whole thing, right? So like they've spliced, like basically like they've spliced human and animal DNA and they've created these like beast men who are like, also, like, beast men, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, and then, but they're all, like, trapped. But then, like, they made these, and then the government was like, oh, shit, we made, like, basically, like, super killers. Like, super, like, animal, like, they have all the best qualities of, like, you know, big hunters, say, like, the cat men are, like, also lions. Mm-hmm. But they don't shift. They just are both. And then, like, these, like, I don't know, human women come in and like fall in love with them. And it's just so weird. And you're sort of like, what am I doing? Why have I read 15 of these in a row? But they're really fun and really silly and like really freeing in this like wacky way.
Totally.
And that's another one that just like those books, I just, when I discovered that series, and look, I haven't read those books in a while, in many years. So it's like, you know, as always with these episodes, when we're like, these are wild, this whole series is bananas. Please, like, you know, tread carefully. But also, I feel this is something that we were talking about when we were talking about that fantasy book that I read, Mila Vane. I feel like when readers walk into these books, they set a different expectation for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we accept a lot more from these books than we would from something that we don't expect to be quick and dirty, you know?
Yeah. You know who I actually think is probably, like, maybe even who's, like, writing that same kind of book, but, like, has, like, a little more, like, depth and sort of is, like, digging into things is an author named Lolita Lopez. Mm. Has a series I really liked called Grabbed. The first one's called Grabbed by Vicious. I can't even say the straight face. It was amazing. And basically in this series, there's, like, this essentially, like, they put these women in like sort of a like pen, and they like essentially have to run. And if they get caught, then they're like mated to whoever catches them. So it's like super interesting the way this is set up. And like you said, like problematic, you would never take this in real life, but the way then, so then they like get taken up to like the spaceship or whatever and have to like mate it out with these guys. But I thought they were great. And there was they were like three of them came out in like 2015. And then just like a month ago at the beginning of January, a fourth one came out. So, those were like very similar, but yeah, I feel like, yeah, you're just, I don't know. You just have to like let go of any sense of like right or wrong or how people are acting in terms of like ethical behavior on Earth. It just is kind of like, boom.
Yeah.
I'm going to read this. It's going to be amazing.
Of course. And it's, I mean, and there's something really, yeah, it's the freedom of it. The kind of, yeah. It's the same, here's what they are. They are the same as, you know, when you just want to watch like a television show that you don't have to think too hard about, or like a, I'm trying to think, it's like, is it reality TV? Is it like, yeah. Or is it like a, you know, The Fast and the Furious, you know, and you just sort of feel
handsome
like
men blow things up, right? Where you're like, I'm not going to worry about it. Just action and beautiful people. Great.
I don't want to have to interrogate my relationship with the patriarchy right now.
Yeah. That's, you know what, Sarah, that is exactly what it is.
Yeah. And so I think that Jen, you and I over the last season, over the last two seasons have done a lot of like hard intellectual work on like interrogating the work of romance. Right. And I think sometimes people feel like we're boring because not, I mean, maybe not. First of all, we're not. But second of all, I think like, you know, they come to us and like periodically we'll do a whole, you know, we'll talk about, you know, the alpha and we're like really, you know, standing firm and like, what does it mean and how does it work and what are we saying and what's our internalized misogyny around this? And the truth is like, Jen and I never, ever want you to feel, and I feel like the last couple of interstitials have proven it, like we never, ever want you to feel like we like only take romance in serious doses. Like,
oh God, no.
We love these books that we're talking about today, like we love them just as much.
You know, people sometimes talk about like my reading diet, right? Like I read the New York Times and then sometimes I read People magazine and I'm like, look, you can get everything you need from romance, everyone. Everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So let me talk about Brill Harper kind of before we wrap up, because I think this is not, it's not like sci-fi. So if none of that's true, like there's just no way I can do any of these. Brill Harper has, I think, again, really knows the tropes and knows how to stick to them. And she writes a great series. They're called, like, The Alpha Mallows. Great. Sure. And the name of the book is essentially, like, a nod to the hero's job. So it's, like, you know, one is, like, I'm going to have to actually look. Because I feel like the one I'm thinking of is, like, hold on, sorry, I'm like such an idiot right now. I don't like all these, you know, titles. What are they? Oh, like Blue Collar Bad Boys. Sorry. So one is called Plowed, and the hero is a snowplow driver, and one is called Laid, and the hero like lays bricks or something. Great. And again, I don't know that these are like real jobs, but great. And
they are, Jen.
No, but I mean, like, not, they're not real jobs on page, right? Like, they're real jobs in the world.
No.
But, yeah, like, you know, they don't actually come home with, like, concrete dust on their hands.
Well, snowplow driver is, like, fossil hunter.
Yeah, who cares? Right. Although that, like, it's also that Simpsons episode.
Mr. Plow, that's my name. That name again is Mr. Plow. Our forecast calls for flurries of passion, followed by extended periods of getting it on.
Okay, anyway. These books are great. And they, I mean, I have, so they're, and they come in like collections.
Another official selection from the Bill Harper collection.
Like 1 through 4 is like, you know, gonna be the first ones. And then Blade, Bounced, Wrecked. Oh, that's so good. And then there's also a whole Love in Brazen Bay series that she does. But I think the thing about these books, and of course my all-time favorite of her books is a book called All Together, which is about three college students that like end up in a menage together, end up in like a polyamorous kind of closed relationship together. But she just like absolutely knows what the trope is and is going to deliver it to you exactly how you want it. And because, like you said, they're short, you just are going to like get that hit and it's going to work. And if like one of them doesn't work for you, you could just go on to the next one. You don't have to like sweat it. There's no, you're not going to miss anything. You could read them all out of order. I mean, I think that's the other thing is it's like, there's not this sense that, you know, oh my God, I'm going to be missing things if I read them in a different order. If I read number 8 before number 1, none of that even matters. And I think that sometimes that can also be an impediment, especially to a bigger, longer series, is the sense that they're not really standalones. And these really also are. They're great.
I mean, I was reading Brill Harper before you made them cool, so.
You were the one who told me about Brill Harper, and then I told everybody else.
I mean, I really, like, yeah. So, you guys, we want to hear about your quick and dirty books.
Yeah, because we need
if
more.
You can, yeah, because that's the that's the other piece of it, right? You end up going into sort of a fugue state where then,
oh yeah,
you've like gone down the rabbit hole. You come out of it 48 hours later, and you're like, I've read 14 books in a row about blue aliens, and then you think to yourself, who even am I now? But then you run out of them. And now I feel like Jen and I have really, we've blown through a lot of these writers. So
yeah.
If you have somebody who you think we would really love, yes. Please tell us because we want them.
Yeah, we need more. Everybody needs, this is like a break in case of emergency type of author, right?
Exactly.
And I also reread these sometimes because I'm just like, this is what I want. Boom.
And so many people in romance, like I see so many people in romance go like, I don't know. Ice Planet Barbarian sounds crazy. And yeah, it does. and here's the thing, like if that title just doesn't sound like your thing, it's probably not going to be your thing. But if there's a part of you that's like, I don't know, I think I'd be embarrassed to admit that I read them. That's okay. I've truly never been embarrassed to admit that I read anything, but I get it.
Oh, yeah.
And you should just read them in quiet peace. Get a burner Twitter account and find us and say,
this is literally what your Kindle is for. That's all I have to say about that.
No one need ever judge you.
Well, I will tell you this. I have like a Amazon Associates account and I don't really use it that often anymore. Because I told everybody at like about that All Together book and I was like, this one's real hot. And I swear to God, I sold 100 copies of that book and I was like, oh,
absolutely.
So I think there is like a real groundswell of people who are like, I just want to like, it's like Calgon, take me away. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, just, this is like exactly what I want. And sometimes I do. I just like sit down and I just really have to read it. Like, it's such a stress reliever for me too.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
This is like self-care reading for sure.
Yes. It's great. And we support it. And you will never find judgment here in our corner of podcast land. Anyway. I think we should end there.
Yeah. Next week, we'll be back with Tessa Bailey's
Asking for Trouble
and Protecting What's His, sort of. We'll probably talk about a lot. We'll probably just talk about the Tessa Bailey oeuvre
in general. Yeah, the Tessa Bailey, Queen of Dirty Talk.
So good.
I love that. But Asking for Trouble is my pick, and it's like really terrific enemies to lovers. Because it's really just like they hate each other and they're forced, and it's not like they're forced to be together. I also really like the, we'll talk about it next week. Never mind. Save it for the pod.
Save it for the pod, Sarah.
Otherwise, there are new shirts in my shop, in the Jordan Danae shop. We will put links to it. The Fated Mate shirt is not up yet, but when it is, we will, of course, talk about that.
That's right.
You can buy pins from Kelly at Jen's website. Oh, you can call us at a telephone number that I still don't have written down.
So maybe don't. We'll tell you next time.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you can call us. Fated Mates is produced by Eric Mortensen. And
don't shop in pet stores. Go to your local shelter if you need to visit the pet store. All right, everybody. Okay. Have a good one.
Bye.
Hi, Jen and Sarah. My name is Chris. I live in Southern Maryland, but I am originally from Long Island. The book that flooded me was the first Guild Hunters book in the Wingsing Guild Hunter series, which is Angel's Blood. And I had come to that book because I was a huge Rowena Andrews fan. I really loved reading fantasy and urban fantasy, which kind of had threads of romance in it, her Kate Daniels series, and this was before the Hedney Magazine series. And so I found the Guild Hunter series and was like, oh, more urban fantasy. And then I was like, what is this? There's like happy endings and couples, and each book is a couple, and it blew my mind. And then I started reading all of her Spy Changeling books, and I have been a huge romance reader ever since then. It was like getting that first hit, and now I am totally addicted. Totally what I was looking for in my reading, because that's what I loved about like the Kate Daniels series, was the romance thread that was like woven throughout. That's what I was looking for, and it just finally comes into place. And this happened about, it was in my 20s, I was like 25. Before I became a romance reader. So now I'm in my 30s and still going strong. And honestly, I just don't find other genres as satisfying now, because I just want to know it's all going to be happy in the end. So I'm so glad and forever grateful to Mulini Singh, who I just obviously, she's amazing. And you guys are amazing, and I love your podcast. Okay, bye.